Grace be unto you, and mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is written in the 21st chapter of the Revelation of St. John, the first seven verses. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. This is the word of the Lord. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Sanctify us through your truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, and especially dear Laurel and your dear and devoted family. Today, we're definitely going to go from the general to the specific, from the broad to the narrow, from everybody to one individual person, as our text does also today. So we start out thinking of the history of the whole human race. And it's the history of man's alienation from God because of sin. But it's also the history of the reconciliation of mankind to God, because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ, because of what Jesus did at a certain time, at a certain place on earth, as the incarnate God, because of that atonement that he made, God has justified the world. And he reaches out through his gospel to bring the righteousness of Christ to you, to individuals, through the gift of faith. This history of the human race involves an incredible war, an incredible conflict. And in a way, you can think of this text kind of like the last 8 minutes of the movie, you know, when all of the drama is sort of over, the conflict has been resolved, and honestly, the survivors are sitting around reminiscing and talking about what they've gone through, and the wounds are healing, and the hurts are healing, and they're all together once again. Well, this text comes after that conflict, 20 chapters of that conflict, as it's recorded in Revelation. The conflict between God and Satan, our accuser, our enemy, the one who brought death and alienation into this world, and his conflict with our Savior, Jesus Christ, who brought life and already in his ministry began to turn back death and all the calamities of this world. The book of Revelation tells in symbolic form how this battle is waged until the end of time and tells how it's going to turn out. For Christendom altogether, and for each of us as individuals. The history of a believer's life is a history of this same conflict on an individual scale, because after all, God deals with individuals. One of the things I've always thought it's too bad we miss in modern English is that ironic benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. You know, it isn't the Lord bless y'all and keep all of you. It's the Lord bless thee, you singular. And God says that not just to the gathered people, but he says it to each of you individually. As individuals, we're born in sin and under the wrath of God, and knowing nothing of him, much less loving him. And it's as individuals that we are baptized into Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes to us and gives us new and spiritual life and dwells with us so that even our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit individually. And our birth, especially our new birth, in some ways is the beginning of troubles, because our adversary, the devil, seeks to destroy our faith, even while our gracious Lord is pouring out the riches of the means of grace to keep us his, so that at the end, where does it all go? At the end, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. And God will say, I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So as we gather together today, we remember certainly an individual, a husband, a dad, a grandpa, a friend, a father-in-law. Every one of those is an individual relationship. And just as our Savior himself had with Don and has with Don an individual relationship. So that we can say really and truly, because Don was a Christian and it's true for all Christians, Don didn't just know about Jesus, but he knew Jesus. And now has begun that eternity in which Jesus shares with him the glory that he has, the glory that was given to him before the foundations of the world. And we remember him with hope, not just because of Don's faithfulness to God, but because of God's faithfulness to him. The first part of our text today consists of sweet and precious and beautiful words that are nothing short of exalting. They lift us up. They're a symbol. They're a word picture that mean even more than the mere words themselves. They tell us that for the believers, the whole kingdom of God, his whole church, is a new and beautiful city. And it's as beautiful as a bride arrayed for her husband. And our husband, of course, the bridegroom is Jesus Christ. It's with that love of a bridegroom toward his bride that Jesus looks upon us. And as this great city descends from heaven, there's a tent, there's a tabernacle set up, a dwelling place. And who lives there? But God, the God of all things, the creator of the universe, and he has pitched his tent. He is now dwelling with us, with his people. And he greets them, arriving as they do. He greets them as they come from where there is trouble and there is sorrow. And that trouble is now past, and God himself wipes away the last vestige of a sinful, broken world, the tears of his people. As the Alpha, as the first, as the beginning, he saw mankind in its innocence. As the Omega, the last and the end, he sees mankind adorn in his righteousness. That's good news. Wow. They're high and exalted words. And the good news is all the better. And these words are all the more exalted because they picture what comes at the end of all battles, at the end of all strife, at the end of all conflict to those who overcome. Overcome what? Well, everything that's been symbolized in the preceding 20 chapters of the spiritual perils that face God's people. It includes all the deceit, it includes all the temptation, the trials, the power and the propaganda of the evil one. It includes also the troubles and trials of life. It includes the unbelief into which we're born and into which the evil one would drive us again. It includes the suffering of this broken world. It includes all that you've been going through these past weeks and months and years. It includes even an aging body, diseases like diabetes and heart disease. It includes every discouragement by which the father of lies could attack the promises of God. It includes every sorrow, every grief, every enemy of faith. And Don faced these things as much as any man. And yet even so, last Saturday, there was a celebration at the Schuster house because Don had overcome. By the gift and power and grace of God, he had overcome it all. With Paul, he could say, as he does in 2 Timothy 4, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And with Paul again, he would also say, this is all because of God's faithfulness to him. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Because of God's faithfulness, Don bore and bears a righteousness that wasn't his own, but was given to him. He could say with Paul, yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God and is by faith. Laurel, dear family and friends, the one who has promised this is the one who gave up his life for us and now is risen. He is the first fruits of those who slept. That is, he is the first one to rise, never to die again. And Don will follow. And so will all of us who put our trust in him. You're going to grieve, and you should. He's a wonderful guy, worth missing. You will grieve, and you should grieve, but you will not grieve as one who has no hope. For we have this wonderful promise. All of that talk about the heavens and the earth and the battles and the calamities all narrows down to this one thing. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And so it is. Amen. This is most certainly true.